We'll call to have our city council meeting to order. Please rise for the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, we'll move on to public comment. Ma'am, do you have anything that you want to bring up, say, or?
Okay, yeah, hi. My name is Dina Bray.
Maybe if you want to, if you've got something to address to council, if you want to have a seat, that way we can hear you.
Okay. So, my name is Dina Bray. My husband and I just bought 400 Henrietta Avenue, and we are a family of five, our three children. So, if you find any strays. And the guy told us that we could come to a meeting and ask for assistance in paying for that, as it is a large fee. So I thought I would maybe address it and try it. We're going to get cited regardless, but having small children, I thought it might be good. And I also wanted to come to introduce ourselves.
What you probably want to do there is call the county.
Okay.
And see if there's any assistance there. From the city standpoint, there's...
Okay.
We don't have no programs in place, mm-hmm. but the county more than likely does.
Okay, absolutely.
So, yeah, call down to the county and see if they can give you some guidance.
Okay.
On that. I know years ago we used to have like a small cities grant we had, but that's run out, that's run its course.
Okay. No, that's fine. Doesn't hurt to try.
No, definitely. Definitely check with the county, though.
Okay, fantastic. And that's in Chaska?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, yeah, definitely. But I wanted to introduce ourselves, and my husband had to stay home with the kids because, well.
you aren't moved in yet or nothing then?
Yeah, pretty much.
Are you?
Okay. Yeah, we did that today. That's why I'm very humble in my apparel.
I guess welcome to town.
Thank you.
Welcome to Hamburg.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. We'll move on to the agenda review. If there's any added items?
Mayor and Council, just a few items I got is updated delinquency report. One note I want to make on the agenda, instead of the approved added payments for March, it should be January 2014, and I will go over them. Added claims, actually corrections, and then April claims list. May claims list has been updated. And then the other thing I have is just an example of council city business, which I believe Council Member Lund will go over just to discuss some items about getting back to our duties list and our project list. One other thing I got for a consent agenda, I found out I have another doctor's appointment. So I'd like to add June 4th to my dates requesting time off. And then also approve a temporary on-sale liquor license for the Lions Club for June 20th and June 21st.
Anything else from the council?
I move to approve the agenda as amended.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the agenda with the added items. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Move on to the consent agenda.
I move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. We'll move on to fire department report. Chief Buckentine.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Just give a report on the FDIC. We had two members went. It was in Indianapolis.
Was it April 12th, something around?
We were kind of looking at new gear at some point in time. Updating, so they were out there, checked some of that, looked on some other equipment, what's available, what's out there. So. Time to talk. If you guys want to go with that, approve it, brought it to the department already. They were fine
before.
I'm at door.
Just to make sure to put a sticky note on for the medics so they don't walk outside and they're stuck outside.
True.
So, I don't know who brought that up. That was a good idea. If you guys, does that need a...
Two votes for the fire hall. A favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you. And as soon as that's done, I'll let Jeremy know. Just an update for you guys. Colton Crails, a member we had on, he had joined and then he left for the military. Came back, moved out. We just kept him on the roster that time for the, I think it's federal statutes, you have to for up to 5 years. He was under that 5 years. We just had him write up a resignation letter, so all that money that was figured in for him now just gets absorbed back into special funds. So. I'll let you know what's up with that. We had a fire department member who lives in town. We've been waiting since about February to get the background check done. That's all we've been waiting on to take him on. Lives on Jacob Street. He was a firefighter out in Maine, moved here, so I don't know what to do to get him on, but
we haven't got the background check back yet.
We haven't waited. No, we're waiting. Is there something else, another route we can go? Or Jeremy brought up about going.
I can have the attorney run it.
Right.
And it would basically take a day.
Okay.
So if council wants to go that route, then through BCA or the other.
Why,
the
because
other
he's stuff. Out of state or something?
I don't know. I've never gotten anything back from BCA from his.
Yeah, I don't want to take him on until it gets approved,
right.
But it's, I mean, he's been asking, he's excited.
If council has any objections, I can just run it through our attorney with the paperwork, and that usually takes a day. And that's about as in-depth a background check you're going to get, so.
I think we should do it because
okay.
He's hanging on, the fire department's hanging on.
Yep.
Get it done. If it comes back to you, clears, fine. You know.
I'll have attorney run it tomorrow.
Okay, thank you. I'll just let you know the chevrons on the back of the trucks, if you don't know what they are, they're them yellow on the back of the trucks, the yellow reflective things. That was Engine 11, Rescue 11, Rescue 12. We had them finished up, so they're done this month. I think that was under last year. There was some money left that was figured with that. Just to let you know that was done. Our two engines were tested. They were about done with the tests. Thought the only thing we had wrong was a relief valve. Well, then after they finaled the test, they'd found more. He called me up, quoted us, said it was going to be about $3,000. For there was four valves on one. Both primer pumps were out, and the one relief valve was going. They had all failed, so I talked to our mayor and city clerk, and we had to get that done. They could get at it right away, so that was done. I think that came in at about $2,800. They were a little bit under what they quoted at. So.
Yeah, I think what we got a total bill here, what, about 36?
Yeah, the annual test was $700, the original. That was just for the testing, but the maintenance on them. And there was a couple seals on our mainline engine that were leaking, but so we had them fixed so that everything on that engine is running perfectly now.
Wonderful.
Grants updates. We got in for, we're waiting back yet on the DuPont Pioneer. That was for a mannequin and some back yet. We haven't heard yes, but we haven't heard no. They're going out now. So hopefully find out soon.
Was that for gear then?
That was for gear. Minnesota Valley Electric, we have one out we're waiting back on. That was for a different rescue mannequin. And the DNR grant they put in for, and that was for a couple sets of gear. So, haven't heard nothing on them yet. As far as para is a to explain it. For the fire department, there's a para system that all city workers are under. Well, they've started another one for fire departments. And with all the problems we had last year with our accountant, just came up, Waconia was going through the same thing. They had a para rep out. So there was four of us went to that meeting. It was just an informal meeting. I think our relief president's probably going to be looking at doing a... They can do an informational test. They got to get numbers in to see if it's even right, wrong. But he's going to look into that. He's looking at other accountants. He's just looking at different options to get something done so our accounting isn't what it is. So he's talked to our accountant, told him he's got to get his stuff in better.
Well, I think that's one thing. Light a little fire.
Right. I think that's more than anything is, something's got to change with that.
Yeah.
So he's looking at other options, and that's all this pair is another option.
The fellow in New Ulm, he did it okay. The rates for the gambling part was fine.
Yeah.
That was a savings. It was a savings for the FD, too. But
yeah.
It just, he couldn't.
Yeah, the relief
savings. He didn't
know
what the dates were when it was due.
Right. I think it was almost a fifth of the cost. It was over $6,000, I think, we saved by going to him. But it'd be nice to get the stuff done.
Right. Maybe if he knows that Hamburg really stresses, like, hey, we don't operate that way.
Right.
Come on. He can't have the whole world running behind, can he?
You wouldn't think. But. So that's just our president, Gary Marquardt's been looking into other options to get a little better system going. The liquor license, I think you said last year we needed it for the Summerfest. So I don't know for sure which.
Do you know if we're going to have our own license yet or will we put under theirs?
Because the bank insurance agency here needs a copy issued to the fire department to send in
right.
to get that additional insurance for that weekend.
So that's all we were looking for was that liquor license for them Friday and Saturday of Summerfest so we can get our insurance.
The only thing there is just to remember that fire department will only be able to sell 3-2.
That's all that's down there, isn't it?
Well, no. We just approved
I sell the hard lemonade and that stuff, so that's why I applied for the intoxicating liquor, because it isn't covered by our 3-2 one. So.
And we don't sell that stuff at the tractor.
Okay, then we should be good.
All right.
Yeah, because we just got the coolers with the cans.
And the bottles and stuff, we don't want that
right.
over there.
So I suppose we should have a motion to approve that liquor license for the Summerfest.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the 3-2 liquor license for the fire department for Summerfest. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carry.
Thank you.
Anything else?
I do have one addition. I'm sure most of you have heard already, but one of our active firefighters, Rob Trebish, passed away yesterday. We got everything will be, all the services will be out at Hamburg at Emmanuel here. We'll be awake Thursday night, 4 to 8. The funeral will be Friday at noon. Rob was on for 24 years with us. He was still an active member. I don't know if we need approval or to let know, but the family would like a 1939 engine to have use that as the hearse to carry the casket away afterwards. So I don't know if we need approval or if it's just an FYI, but
I don't know if we do, but
I would say we probably should on something of that nature, just under the understanding that the 39 will be manned by fire department members.
Yes, we'll be driving, and there will be two members on the back strapped in with harnesses behind it. So.
I'll move to approve that.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the use of the 39 for Trevor's funeral on Friday. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you. And finally, with that, one member had brought up last night, we've got a tree and a plaque back here for Mike Stockman, who, as far as we know, is the only other active firefighter that we'd ever lost. It hasn't gotten brought up yet, but if it does, would that be okay if we would do something similar to that nature back there?
I don't see a problem.
I mean, most of the department don't know yet. It was just one person brought it up. But since we've got the meeting here tonight, I figured we'd bring it up.
Yeah, that's fine.
So. That's all I have, unless somebody has something for me.
Justin, I called you right before the meeting.
Yep.
Could you talk to Dad about that?
Yeah, we were right here. They're going to get a hold of this.
Yeah, we have to talk about it tonight. Yep. As you called, after you called, I then asked him, too, if that...
Yeah. You're going to get the other members together and have it. Yeah.
We'll let them know. And
yeah, okay. So Jake will be there.
Yep. Just have him meet up here at 6:30 if he wants to come with us. And
okay. Uniform on. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Okay.
Is there anything else?
Thank you.
Anything else? This is the time. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Justin.
We'll move on. Mr. Voss, you're going to tell us all good things. All good things, right?
Exactly.
What do we want to hear?
Well, for the presentation of the audit, we'll be going over the management letter. Between the two books that you have, it's the one with the white cover on it and then the numbers on the side. Well, for the audit, a little about me. I'm actually from Arlington Greenough area. I've been a manager for the last 5 years at Abdoik and Myers, working there for 10 years. And it's real nice to kind of be back in the local area and to be a part of kind of the community I grew up as well. With that, what we come in for the audit is to really just kind of take your accounting information, what's sitting there in QuickBooks, what you guys get to see monthly, you know, with those budget to actuals and the cash balances, and be able to verify for you that in all material respects, that's properly reported. What you're seeing monthly, that's accurate, and here's a summary of it for the year that's in all material respects in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. With that, the opinion that we give is called an unmodified opinion. That's the clean opinion for what the term is. It's consistent with what you've had in the past, and that's kind of the be-all, end-all, what you want to have us coming in here and giving. With that, we also do look at internal controls, which is part of our audit, designing our procedures, more to help us get a better understanding of, you know, what makes City of Hamburg unique. And with that, we're not giving an opinion on the effectiveness of internal controls, but if we see anything that we consider a significant matter, we would put that here in the management letter to discuss today. With that, we do have two items to note, both of which are carryovers from what's been in there in the prior year. We'll take a quick look at those. If you flip over to page 2, the first one, preparation of financials, just to quickly summarize those, basically with taking that information out of QuickBooks for your accounting system, we help pretty much format it into the audit report that you have in front of you. A lot of that is just kind of putting it in our template, rolling it forward, and bringing it in. Staff does a really good job of preparing the data that goes into there, that there's really not a significant amount of adjustments and work that we have to do, which is good because that means you're getting more accurate information with your monthly financial information. With that, though, you know, it's just a kind of a audit standard to put this finding in there just because of the independence issue. I'd say 4 out of 5, at least 4 out of 5, cities under that 5,000 population, and we audit over 100 across the state, have this finding in it. Very common. Typically, you know, just like kind of identifying the recommendation there, ultimately it's up to council to say, hey, the cost and benefit isn't worth it to get rid of this. It's everywhere else, and we're comfortable with the risk of having the auditors prepare the financials. What I will say, though, is under the recommendation, there's kind of an item 2 there
with the recommendation to agree the accounting information from QuickBooks to the audit, and that's been done this year and every other year that I've been out here. It's that procedure, as well as the audit preparation that your staff does, that keeps this from being a material weakness. So basically, we recommend them continue with it. Does a good job and appreciate his work. On page 3, kind of in a sense, similar to the preparation of financial statements, just not having enough bodies in the building to segregate things out, to prepare your own financial statements, to have checks and balances in place. The accounting categories within segregation of duties really boils down to 4 areas. They have authorization, really what council's approving, who has custody of basically the checkbook, who is doing the record keeping, and then who is doing the reconciling. So basically 3 out of those 4 is a one-man shop. Where it's important to kind of the takeaway there, it's not going to be any different. It's not worth the cost, generally, from even our standpoint as auditors. But what's important is to look at those recommendations. Those bottom bullets on the bottom is really where you play in and what's unique to local governments versus some other business or a nonprofit that might not have as much checks and balances. Your review of the disbursements each month, what you get for budget versus actual, really helps with reducing some of that risk from an audit standpoint and from an internal control standpoint. So it's good to be aware of your own responsibility of those controls.
Question. When you do your audit, as to our claims and checks and everything, how detailed do you go into? Do you spot check certain claims or all?
No. Not all, and a big part of that comes down to, again, the cost versus benefit. The cost of having an audit go through that level of detail, we still got to provide a quality service at a reasonable price.
I'm just curious what you...
Yep, us personally, our approach to get is to go a little bit above and beyond. We don't want to do the minimum, the basis required. So we'll select several, over 20 checks during the year, for example, throughout the year, and say we want to see that council's approving them, they have the proper signatures on them, that they're paid within the proper legal compliance time frame, that they relate to the proper project for bidding and how it's coded. And then within that, we also take all of your accounting data, break it down, compare it to the prior 2 years, compare it to your budget, and then pretty much drill your staff on anything that varies to get that expectation, not only in budget, of consistency as well. So it's part of us, we have the data and your staff does a good job summarizing it, so we take advantage to do a little bit more than what the minimum requirement is.
Because, council members, they see just the
end product.
I signed a check, so I kind of know too what's happening, so I'm fine, But I just was curious how.
And another unique thing that's nice about the audit procedures as well is just most significant areas of your revenue coming in are taxes, assessments, and then that local government aid. Well, all of those areas we can get third-party confirmation, which is just kind of a higher level of assurance coming from the state, coming from the county. What should be reported here, is it there? And then it kind of makes more of the risk on those checks, what's going out, that we can focus more of our audit risk on.
Well, one thing, Matt, I see here claims approval should be at the front of the meeting. Is that what you recommend, then at the end of the meeting, or?
No, just being a consideration, important consideration that it's there.
Okay.
I think part of the risk of at the tail end Yep. And that's where it ends up being most on the front end, is that it's... Yeah.
Falls under the concept of...
And I guess that's why I'm bringing it up, is... But the reason I always have it at the end, because every time it's approved, we used to have it in the front.
They get pulled out.
They get pulled out, and then something will get added, and So I just kept it
at the end. Which is a plus that you're actually looking at it, that detail, too, I would say. I think the risk there is that, you know, if somebody always had it at the tail end, meetings get long, does it ever get kind of glanced over, pushed back to, oh, we'll table it, we'll take a closer look the next
week. That could happen on the consent agenda.
Could. Yeah. Yep, exactly. So to be aware of it, and you're approving them timely. Bills are getting paid within their requirements. So. Page 4. Kind of with that area, part of the audit, compliance and other matters, is that there's some requirements from the state auditor's office. You know, they want to make sure that you're doing the proper bidding, getting your right quotes for any projects and capital purchases, for what you have for debt, that you're following the legal requirements there, that you have the proper banking and investments in place that's authorized. With that, we don't have any items of noncompliance to note for the year through our testing. As far as on page 4, you know, there's various required communication in here that I'll let you look through at your leisure. As far as a highlight there, what I'd say, that last paragraph, corrected and uncorrected misstatements, what's actually nice to point out there is what's not there. You know, when we, like I said, audit a lot of cities, and a lot of them under that 5,000, a lot of them under the 2,500 population, probably about 90% have, you know, a list of 4 or 5 bullets here of significant audit adjustments. You don't have any. And that's even with kind of a tighter year for time for coverage. So, you know, it's our point to try to say thanks to the staff for the quality that they do to get stuff done and have it still be an efficient, effective audit and give you a quality product here. On page 5, what I'd point out here, just that bottom policies and procedures. Within the audit, one thing I'd say, you know, it's not a significant deficiency by any means, but just kind of good general practice to have some more policies than what's necessarily, you know, on paper right now. And a lot of it just kind of boils down to the turnover, having some consistency, having something labeled down of what do your staff do that the next person can kind of hit the ground running. Page 6, this finding was in here, or comment, it's not a finding, just a comment on cash balances was in here last year. Really all it is, it serves a purpose to serve as a reminder to continue to look for opportunities annually. It's nothing of an audit concern, but just a reminder. With that, within the general fund, looking at your results of operations for the year, we'll say that the city does have its own fund balance policy to set aside a minimum of 35 to 50% of fund balance for next year's budget expenditures. What's important that with that 2014 budget is, if you're not going to get your taxes in, and state aid is not going to come in until June, and well after that, you know, think of it just from your own finances, you need enough cash just to cover your expenses. You know, they don't get spread out halfway through the year. They're consistent. So that's where that 35 to 50% really plays in right there, just from a cash standpoint. You know, some people in the public can look at that as that's a lot of money, but what you have for a budget, it's necessary. If you flip over to page 7, what you see there is where that percentage is at. For each of the 5 years, it's been over that 35 to 50% target. What's important with that, too, is that when you look at that budget, the red line on the chart on the top, there is some fluctuation year to year, you know, as there's replacement and other needs within the budget that fluctuates. That's where having that consistent fund balance is nice to leverage out some of those needs as well. Those capital needs aren't necessarily just going to happen after June as well. So to have some more money set aside for that is good practice. Within that, on the year, you did have an increase of about $39,000, sitting at nearly $330,000 in the general fund at the end of 2013. Within that, if you look on the table on the bottom, over 92,000 revenues overall variance from budget, and 62,000 variance from expenditures, accounting for that net change, about $30,000. Within that revenue, the largest variance is within the local government aid. You know, it wasn't budgeted. It was kind of set aside for some capital needs. Well, then the flip side is going to be right there with that second bullet on the bottom. You use the local government aid to do the capital. So we have about $60,000 for that Robert Avenue project. It's good practice to have. You know, we see more and more doing that to rely less on that local government aid, since it can be pretty volatile in what the state allows. If you look on page 8, outside of the budget, we have here just a comparison. Kind of just try and look for any trends within your revenues. On the next page, even the expenditures. Within your revenues here, what you see, just your total between $530,000 and $540,000 each of the 3 years presented here. Very consistent. Sometimes it's easier to see that, though, in the chart, you know, with having as much reliance as you do on the property taxes. You know, 69% of your revenues this year were property taxes, 15% intergovernmental. I'd say that's really steady with what we see for the cities under the 2,500. You know, between taxes and LGA, relying anywhere from 80 to 85% of revenues on that, on those two sources. And so what you see that the on the chart there is that the increase really over the 2 years in the taxes really mirrors kind of the decrease in the intergovernmental from what LGA has gone down in the past 2 years. Not a lot, but you know that's accounting for kind of where the overall stays consistent. So within that, just kind of like what's on the bullet on the bottom, that your 2012 levy was about $369,000. Same with your 2013. So your levy pretty much stayed the same, but your revenues actually went up about $15,000. Well, the reason for that is that in 2012, even though you levied about $370,000, well, there's about $7,000-$8,000 that didn't get collected overall of that amount. Now in 2013, you collected pretty much your levy plus some of what wasn't collected in the past. So you actually got more than what you levied. And so it looks like more of a swing than what you really had with your levy. You basically had no change in your levy. On page 9, kind of on the flip side then, within those expenditures, see going from in 2011 overall 517,000 expenditures up to 532,000 in 2012 and back down to an overall 500,000 in 2013. Some of this kind of is fluctuating just like what we saw on page 6 with your budgeted expenditures, or page 7 on that chart where that budget expenditures had some spikes. And really that a large part is due to the capital in place. Sometimes it's a little bit easier to see that illustrated in the chart there. You know, overall a decrease, but there were several departments that had an increase. You know, within the general government, your increase was about 14,000 just within the general government buildings department. Although the nice part with that one was that almost 9,000 of that increase in expenditures was reimbursed from insurance just for the repairs on the front of the building. Within culture and recreation there, the purple line, how that decreases in 2012. A big part of that was just repair and maintenance that was there in 2012 and had less than $150 for repairs in 2013. And then within, kind of if you look, two lines, the green line on the bottom is public works, and then kind of two above it is just kind of the other area. That's going to include everything else that isn't specified there. Well, a big piece of that is the capital outlay. So with the Robert Avenue improvement being capitalized improvements, you know, it's going to last more than a year. You know, should last hopefully over 10 years for what those improvements do to the road. Those get identified in that category of capital outlay. So overall, public works actually went up. But when you just look at that chart on the bottom there, it makes it look like it went down. If you want, it kind of sometimes can be helpful, but for your own information, pages 60 to 63 of your audit actually has more detailed information as well within those broad categories, you know, what's in your departments for comparison to budget and comparison to prior year. On page 10, other governmental funds outside of your general fund, really is just these capital project funds and your debt service funds. You have two funds within that capital project category, just the broad capital purchases, which are kind of the be-all, end-all of any capital needs outside of fire equipment. With that, there weren't any expenditures in the year for either of these funds. Really, the increase reflects what was transferred from the general fund, what was available to help build up reserves for future projects. You know, from a council standpoint, I guess the takeaway usually when we look at capital project funds is, you know, you're there to provide that monitoring, that big picture step back of are we where we need to be. And with that, a good practice with the capital project funds is to look at your capital improvement plan and compare, you know, how do we feel where we're at compared to where we need to be, whether or not we want to finance more for those projects that are coming up, or if we're going to maybe use up some of these reserves that we've been building. As far as the debt service fund, we have the two with the 07 geo improvement bonds, not set to mature for about 10 years, and then the rescue truck that's set to mature here in 2 years. You can kind of see that in that chart on the bottom there, how once it's done in 2 years, you get about $20,000 a year in savings. Now, within that rescue truck, though, significant item to point out, your total assets is actually $50,000, which is more than what your debt outstanding is. That, in large part, is due to the township contributions for the truck. And so the cash needs to be there to pay, just because they're not necessarily paying when your first payments are due, usually in February and August. So you need to have the cash there. Overall, majority of it's covered by those contributions. And then as well for the improvement bonds, a significant amount there, the difference between the $22,000 cash and total assets of $68,000, that's basically special assessments that is for the properties that benefited most from those improvements, they're paying over 25% of the bonds. Page 11. What we have is a little bit of a change in the presentation for your enterprise funds here. Really, this is focused on kind of the cash flow statements, which can be found in page 40 of the audit financial statements. The idea behind this was, you know, kind of the takeaway with doing your rate study. You know, overall, what do you need to know how your funds are operating where you want them to be? And the takeaway is, you know, our rates covering our operations, and our rates covering our debt payments. And so what you'll see in these charts, this one on the top, is that your payments out, operations, debt, capital, other, is going to be in the leftmost column. And then your what's coming in, mainly from your rates, and then if you had any bond proceeds to pay for a project example, or any transfers coming in, that's going to be on the right. So ideally, your amount on the right is equal to or more than the column on the left. Within that, ideally, your rates are covering specifically the operating costs and debt. So blue would be more than the gray and the green. What you see is that it's not quite covering that the past 2 years within 2012 and 2013. Now, what's nice is that you've still had enough cash to help with covering that. And then in 2012 and 2013, you even had some transfers coming in from the general fund to help cover operating costs and debt payments. So what you see on the chart below is kind of the impact of those changes in any year. So for 2013, really only about $11,000 decrease overall in cash, you know, about 10% of what was there before. And a big part of that, so it decreased $11,000, but $20,000 of that was a one-time activity to repaint the water tower. So, you know, having that spread, having that activity just over 1 year. Kind of the takeaway with this is similar, well, for each of these funds, similar to what there is for the capital project. You know, taking a look at this from a council standpoint, how is our cash compared to our capital improvement plan, to our rate study for where we, you know, had plans on where we want these funds to be? Kind of the takeaway for you. One thing to mention there too is that there is that red minimum target balance. You know, it's not an audited number. It's just kind of reflecting, you know, from a cash flow standpoint, that you'd like to at least have enough cash to cover debt and have enough to cover, since you bill monthly, basically cover about 10% of your operations. Ideally, you might want to have more than that, but that's where that minimum target comes into play. On the next page, page 12, we have the sewer fund cash flow. What you notice in the chart there is that we actually, just to be able to better see the activity, we excluded the 2011 capital asset activity and the related bond proceeds. You know, there's about $290,000 of bond proceeds in 2011, offset with about $254,000 of costs. It had been pretty hard to see the charts otherwise, and so we kept those out. But what's nice, the takeaway here, kind of the same point, is that you want that blue to be more than the gray and the green. And within that, for 2013, you're at that level that you need to be. For 2012, that green was a little bit more, but the reason being, kind of within that orange in 2011, that significant amount there coming in, there were some special assessment prepayments. And so that cash was already in there in 2011, available to help pay a good chunk of those debt payments in 2012. So really, you take factor that the cash was already there, your operations for the past 2 years have been covered by your rates. And then as far as 2011 as well, and you'll see this on the next page, a big piece was was transferred cash into sewer for fronting the 11 improvement project until the bond money had come in. And so this was a reimbursement from Storm for covering its portion of cost. Flipping over to page 13. For that stormwater fund, same deal, just in order to better see the chart, the activity, we excluded those same 2011 capital asset activity. For stormwater, that was about $1 million out of the proceeds out of the 11 bond issuance, and then about $714,000 of project costs. The other part of it for where that cash amount was different was the transfer over to sewer to reimburse it for fronting those costs. So overall, its first year of operation ended with just about $146,000 of cash seen on that chart, that second chart on the page. Here you're going to see, if you look back up on the top there, there aren't really much for operating costs at this point for the stormwater fund. But there is the cash needed from your rates to cover the debt. And so not quite there for 2012, 2013, dipping into some of those reserves that you got from the initial bond proceeds and the project cost savings. What are kind of the takeaway for that is when you look at that second chart, is that looking at that red line of, you know, ideally if anything happened, we at least have 1 month of reserve for debt service. Well, right now you're still above that by over $20,000, even with dipping into some of that for rates. But still good practice looking at that rate study. Is this where we need to be? How far are we comfortable dipping down before we might need a more significant rate increase again for storms? On page 14, really what we have here is we have a ratio analysis, several common ratios. Our firm trying, you know, one of the takeaways we always get from counsel, and it's good because if you have anything you want to pass on to Jeremy, a common question is how do we compare it to other cities similar size? So with that, we actually went and got comparative information, pulled it from the state auditor's office within, well, I think it was over 200 cities with a population under 2,500. And what's interesting is that a lot of these ratios, even as you get over 2,500 to 10,000 and 10,000 above population, what's interesting is how many of them stay pretty consistent on the percentages here. When we look at your first three ratios here, debt to assets, debt service coverage, debt per capita, what you're going to see is that you're more within the debt to assets and debt per capita, mainly because of that PFA money for the 11 improvement project. You know, when you look at 2010 for that debt to assets, you're at 38%, and that peer group is 37%. Once that project came in, then you got more out there compared to that other cities, that other peer group. The important takeaway, though, is, okay, we had to do this project. It's good that we have the project. Now we have better infrastructure, newer infrastructure. That second line basically is what we just looked at on those three previous pages for your water, sewer, and storm fund, looking at those charts of is the blue covering the gray and the green. That's what's there with, you know, ideally you want that to be about 100% or more. And right now, the past 2 years, it's dipped under, but something to keep an eye on. Focus as well as what's our taxes compared to that peer group. Other cities our size, significantly more than the peer group. You know, 763 and 764 the past 2 years, compared to it was up in 2011 of 636, but back down to 444 for the peer group. What I'll caution you with just looking at that taxes, is that population under 2,500 are going to get a significant amount of LGA. And so the takeaway there is, how are you using the money that you got? You know, how are you spending? And that's really going to be in that next line item, current expenditures per capita. You know, if you're not getting as much LGA as those other comparable cities, you're having to get taxes, but on average, you're still spending less than that peer group. You know, in each year presented, 773 in 2010, and actually less 3 years later in 2013, 724 per capita, compared to between 800 to 850 for that peer group. The one other ratio that I'd point out there, the cautionary tale, I guess I'd say, would be that capital asset percentage left to depreciate within governmental. You know, you did have this big project in 2011 for your enterprise, your utility infrastructure, but your streets definitely are aging. You know, for audit purposes, you know, we typically estimate an average life of 40 years. Well, we estimate an average life of 40 years for a street here, and we estimate that same life whether we're in the city of Blaine. Your streets are going to last a lot longer out here. You know, it's not huge red flags that you're at this, but you know, it's still a marker. You know, if 40 years is the estimated life, 25% represents 10 years. So as a whole, all your streets, audit purposes, would say, well, you have a little bit more than 10 years life left. You probably might expect a significant amount of either repairs or reconstruction coming up in the near future. With that, the remaining pages here in the management letter has more various reporting changes that will be coming up. The one that I'll mention that will have a significant impact on page 16 is GASB 68. Really one that it's kind of tough to swallow, but really what it boils down to is that for what PARA is unfunded on what its investments are set aside now compared to what it projects it'll have to pay out for all of its employer members and employees that are part of PARA. Basically, the standard says all the employers are on the hook for that amount that PARA itself is unfunded. That's pretty tough since all you do is pay a set rate. You can't pay any more to pay off what your estimated liability is. It won't even change the rate. You know, when we've talked to PARA personally, they basically look at that unfunded as kind of a mortgage. They only benchmark the rate to try and cover that over 25, 30 years. So what they're saying is, yeah, it's going to look like a real big red flag. To be honest, Hamburg, your net position, kind of what's the overall between all your governmental, all your enterprise funds, might actually go into the red, you know, out of this, like for how much it's unfunded. We've talked to PARA about it. They're not going to change the rates. It's not going to change your general fund, anything like that, for your budget. You're not going to have a big swing there. You shouldn't have a big swing in bonding for the next time that you need to do a project. We've talked to Moody's, we've talked to Standard & Poor's. they know it's all across the nation. It's a government standard. It's not just a Minnesota requirement. And so they'll take that into consideration as well. But that being said, it will have a significant impact, and that's going to affect your 2015 financial statements. So 2 years from now.
So Matt, on that, was the state going to provide you that information?
Very nice. Just talking with them probably about 3 weeks ago. Basically, they'll have not only what information, what that amount will be, but their plan is to basically hand you the footnote. So what's going to be in the financial statement. So, because otherwise, that was potentially a big cost out of this, is the amount of audit costs this was going to raise for all these cities for a standard that wasn't going to change how you fund it. So it'd be nice that basically they're just getting one audit from the para level, and then give that information to all of the employers.
Okay.
Well, before I ask any questions, I definitely want to thank you for the continued opportunity coming out here. It's nice to be at similar stopping grounds, and grew up with my sister working at Hillcrest Cafe, and it makes me smile every time I drive by it. With that, does anybody have any questions about your audit?
Well, man, I just want to thank you. It was, I think, kind of, at least for me, one of the more difficult situations I was in, and just want to thank you guys kind of working around my schedule a little bit more this year.
Definitely.
And I've always enjoyed working with you guys. Just one point I want to make to the council too, there's that deficiency issue with the financial statement. One thing I want to assure the council, that when they prepare the financial statement, I take the time to go through this full booklet, make sure it matches what we have in our books, make the proper, entries, to make sure everything comes up in QuickBooks that matches the audit. So I think that way we keep everything in sync. I think it also makes for an easier audit the next year and so on and so on. But I do thoroughly enjoy working with Matt and their staff.
Well, thank you.
Any questions? A lot of information there.
Yes.
I'm glad you understand it.
Well, you'll have to let Jeremy know, too, if there's any feedback we can get on just the charts, if they help any better. Numbers can kind of even put us to sleep sometimes, so at least we'll be able to see it more visually.
I think the visual is always better.
Yeah.
Well, I think, too, Jeremy deserves a lot of credit because he had a lot on his plate the first year with all the stuff that was going on and, working this and knowing that it had to be done. So he just he spent a lot of hours that, he would normally be here. So we appreciate that.
Well, yeah, he says thanks to us for being flexible with him, but he still accommodated us on what we had for a scheduled time frame.
Just we still managed to...
He's got the room.
Keep the same duties. So.
Yeah. Well,
thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks,
thank
Matt.
You, Matt.
All right. We'll move on to old city business. NEMS training. How are we doing? Well,
I just have 700 to do, but I've been too busy. I got CEUs to do and things like that, but I'll get it done. Don't worry about it. We'll get it done, Dick.
All right. I don't know what a CEU is. So.
We'll get it done.
Okay. I'm waiting. That's fine.
Sooner rather than later.
City assessment policy, well, that's something we're going to have to address sometime.
Yeah, any time before the next street project, I would definitely love to have something in place, a couple months before we do a street project. But I think really what we're looking probably next year for a street project, I think right now we're kind of looking at allocating 2 years of LGA towards the next street project because it will be a bigger project. So most likely it will just be patching and minor millworking this year.
The suggestion I would have on that is just I would
have Bob lead a subcommittee on that, and then when that committee gets a decision on what they want to do, then bring it back until then.
For the assessment?
Yeah. I don't think we need to keep talking about
Yeah, we can do that.
Going forward until that happens.
Volunteer to sit on that committee with Bob?
I'll go now.
I'll probably sit in on it too when I can.
Just make sure they post it before you sit
in. Yeah, if we have three left, post it at a special meeting.
Did I just get volunteered for something?
Yes, you did.
You're the streets guy.
You're the streets guy.
You didn't really get volunteered.
Thanks, the label guy, yeah.
There you got your NIMS training.
Yeah, I got your NIMS trained, and you might not have to have done that, but...
Don't start with me.
And just in the packet, there's some examples from other cities. And then maybe I can maybe get...
Well, let's just get Sophia Avenue done before we set the assessment policy in place.
Oh, no, we have to have it. Make a difference if NIMS are done. Anyway.
Okay.
We'll move on. Generator for lift station.
Yeah,
it's there.
I think everything's been completed. Do they still need to come out and bury everything, or?
Yes. I thought they were going to do that last when they were out here Friday. On Friday, because we were trying to eliminate having Floyd make two trips out here. So the plan was that they would come out and remove that above ground plastic conduit, use the conduit that they buried before the cement was poured, and run their wires into there. For whatever reason, they did not do that. And so I said, well, I guess that's what we were planning on doing. That's, of course, part of the whole plan of putting the thing in, so they're not going to charge us extra. So if they make six trips out here, we don't have to pay for it, but it'd be nice to get the thing wrapped up. So now they have no idea. The guy I talked to said, I have no idea. We'll have to just call you. We're going to come out sometime.
Do we always have a service charge of Floyd's coming out here then?
No, Floyd's would not have to come back out because they basically what happened was when Floyd was here, they ran the wire from the generator through the existing pipe to their alarm panel. So that's done. So now when they put this pipe underground, the generator company will just disconnect the wires from the generator, put them through the new pipe.
Okay.
We don't have to pay anymore.
And that's all that needs to be completed, right? Am I correct? That's the only thing that needs to be done
put
as far as the generator.
Right, yeah.
Then along with that, you know, at that time, too, flagpole wiring, which Greg knows about, needs to be completed. One of the other things we talked about, when we do that flagpole, probably at that time it would be best to have some type of illumination down there, light, floodlight down there or something, so that... you know, when the power is out, that generator kicks on that.
Well, that light would be on whether the power's out or not. But when the power does go out, you don't have the ambient light from the streetlights, and right. So you have some light down there.
And then, you know, other things we've talked about, I think we're in agreement, you know, just finishing up some landscaping there. I think that the goal, Greg, probably before Summerfest, right? I think that would be the goal to get that done, to get some type of fencing put up. Privacy fencing, so that would just kind of so when you drive by, you're not
and people
at the
are
generator,
dragging the feet
not
there,
a, yeah, and it's not in the open,
yeah,
somewhat protected.
It does look better since that grass turned green down there. But Greg and I were talking about putting the outlet and the flaglight stuff in, and I'd suggested that maybe we have Rob's come out and give us an estimate for doing that because. Greg is really booked. I mean, he's got a lot of stuff going on. And is that a possibility?
I'll leave that up to Greg. personally. I guess what yeah. Greg, what's your opinion?
I'll get to it. Just went.
No, that's the problem.
You know, I just got to prioritize now. You know, it's grass is growing, and I got developing ponds, and I got a valve replacement coming tomorrow. And like I said, I got a lot of stuff.
We got person right that lives in town here too that could probably help out and wire that. You know. Maybe ask him what he'd charge us if he'd want to do it. I guess you can handle that. Do what you feel is right that you can get it handled. All right, phone internet service for city.
So we've gotten everything switched over and hopefully ironed out here. Just one of the problems we've had is just with the billing. But Mr. Odoms came in and was nice enough, and I still don't. I need a secret as to how it only took him 20 minutes on the phone. But
you tell me you're a mom.
But I. Hopefully we got it ironed out, but we'll truly know by the next billing. But so far everything's worked good. We had some internet issues, but we found that I think is more a hardware thing than has to do with Jaguar. But other than that, phone's been working good. So no issues with the switchover.
Good.
As far as Jaguar's in.
All right.
I got one other thing about that generator deal. Everybody knows what happened on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, you skipped that.
And to prevent it, basically what happens is we monitor for power going to the panel. If something happens inside the panel, the panel loses power in a certain area. In this case, what happened, it lost it in the control circuit. It tells the panel what to do. Everything in the panel stops working. Even though it's got power, this control circuit blew a fuse, and so that's why we didn't get the red light. The horns burned out. That had to be replaced. The pumps didn't run. Nothing happened. So the fix for that is to have us monitor the output of the control panel circuit. And, I mean, you can keep going on and on and on.
You've got to monitor the monitor.
And monitor the monitor. And then also the high level float, that didn't trigger the lift station panel because the lift station control circuit was out. And because the control circuit was out, that didn't trigger the float alarm. So the easiest fix for this is to have Floyd come out and monitor the output of the control circuit. As a backup measure, monitor the output of the high effluent float. But Floyd will only hook on to existing relays, so we either have to have the company that has made the panel come out and put those relays in, or have Rob's Electric, who installed the panel, do that. So as it sits right now, the alarm system did what it was supposed to do, but it can only do what it's told to do, and the electronics within the lift station panel are what failed. So I guess we have to decide what we want to do on that. Otherwise, we can have the same thing happen tomorrow.
Yeah, so why did that fuse go? I mean, was it a bad fuse? Was there a power surge?
What's his name? Mike seemed to think it was probably a power surge. Who knows?
And we got a meter that isn't working.
We got what?
One of the meters isn't
working. Oh, yeah. What are the... did that start working again or not?
No. And as according to our permit, we need to be monitoring that with the inflow infiltration. So Kurt kind of said today we're going to get that fixed because both pumps don't pump the same. You know, 1.7 hours on one pump and 1.7 hours on the other. You know, one color is one more on the other pump, one might have just a little more horsepower. So he said that's something that we need to get fixed, or that piece of gear is going to be breathing on us.
What kind of power are we looking at?
I have no idea.
Who fixes that?
The
North Star?
Yeah, North Star. much that they don't install that new system. So that's
give them a call.
We're going to wait a few days to see whether or not, because he said maybe the thing got waterlogged. I don't think that would be the case because the actual thing on the box.
I'm kind of thinking this power surge, maybe with both things that went out.
Yeah.
Well, no, he said that the sensor was underwater, and it took on water that way. Normally, it's out of the liquid, but because the liquid came up, it got in there and went and got the whole thing wet.
So it's in a place where there's liquid, but it shouldn't be in liquid.
Because the pumps failed, the liquid came up
and
got
in. The sensor's got to be at the float then, because that's all there is in it.
Well, I don't know. That's what he said. He said it must have got wet because the liquid came up.
Why don't you call and see when someone gets to fix it?
What does the council want to do about monitoring their control power and or the lift?
Well, Mike with North Star said it was not to exceed 300.
No, that's Floyd.
That's Floyd.
To come out and hook up to the whatever relays they put in. And I haven't heard back from North Star.
Well, let's get some costs so we know what we're talking about.
Well, Mike here, I got one from Mike.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, at 6:40 he sent this.
Oh, okay.
An email, so
okay.
Sorry. Yeah, so he said, we'll gladly take care of the installation of additional relays required for Floyd Security to tie into their monitoring set not to exceed 300.
Okay, and so Floyd said they won't exceed 300. So we're talking 600.
Is it a one-time thing, or is this a month?
No, one-time thing.
It should be a one-time.
Pretty soon we're going to have to put Floyd on the payroll.
We should just man somebody to stare at the hole.
Yeah. Well, I guess we...
cell phone, and then just call out when it gets...
I guess we started this process to be alerted.
I tell you what, if we don't, and something happens like Saturday, that $600 is a...
Yeah.
Drop in the bucket.
Because you start filling some of these basics, whether it costs you a lot more.
Yeah. I make a motion we go ahead and get this done. $600 is cheap compared to what could happen.
So basically, I have a motion to for... North Star Pump to do what they need to do and
Floyd's.
To work with Floyd Security on the installation of the additional relays?
Yes.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded to contact North Star Pump for the relays and Floyd Security for the hookup and to not exceed $600 for both. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Anything else on your old city business? Otherwise, we'll move on to Mr. Schultz. A little town, but some big problems, huh?
What's that?
A little town, but some big problems.
Yeah. It's been a few. At least the last 6 months. Water and wastewater services. I've been dumping the ponds out there. We have a bad valve out there. It's leaking around the valve, and the valve is shot due to not the correct use. That valve was designed to be all the way open or all the way closed. How they were dumping the water was not with using the gates, it was by opening the valve a couple of turns just to try and figure out what 6 inches a day was. Well, with 12 million gallons of water forcing on that valve, it's junk, it's shot. I was basically in the hole for 2 hours just to turn that valve 8 turns with a pipe beating on it. We got the main pond just about down. I wanted the valve replaced, but it did not work out with the weather and stuff. But anyway, we have the valve replacement is going to be taking place tomorrow. So I was down in the hole again today. Shut the water off so it's not dumping anymore. Hopefully the new valve will be replaced tomorrow and I can get back down in there, open it up, dump the rest of the water for the rest of the week, and then it'll never be closed. What I plan on doing is taking the top off of the valve and it will just fill up in the standing manhole and it will be regulated with the valve beyond it. We have to do that anyway because we got a leak behind the valve and we need to take care of that. So that was our cheapest option, to just put a whole new valve in and then you basically dismember the guts of the old one, and that way the manhole is basically part of the, it will come up and down with the ponds now. And then the new valve, I should be able to stand up on top with a T-bar and open it and not stand 10 feet in a hole with a pipe and beat on it. So,
when you say down in a hole, are you going to ground someplace?
Manhole.
I'm 10 feet down.
Is there anybody there watching you and talking to you and being sure that you're all right?
People could probably hear me sometimes, but other than that, no.
I think that you should probably be sure that somebody's there when you're doing that.
Well, he's let me know, and
yeah,
I told him to check back when he was done, and
he wasn't. And told
so we kind of had some discussion. Or
I told him today. I said if I wasn't here by 7 o'clock, to come look out there. Anyway, hopefully by tomorrow afternoon, that will be taken care of.
But just also to add to that quickly, just to give council an idea, we're looking at another $6,800, $7,500. But it's something we have to do.
And that's something that should have been done years ago.
Should have been done initially.
That's part of the problem. That's part of the problem that we got so much water out there right now. People's services had such a problem with that valve that they only did one dump last year. And then we had the water service freeze up, so everybody was running water. Which really added a lot out there. And then 5 or 6 inches in a week or two did not help anything. We were over and above capacity. So, like I said, hopefully by tomorrow we got a new valve in place. And I only have to open that up one more time down there, and then, you know, like I said, we'll take it apart, and then it'll be just a piece of iron in the ground. So.
Well, it should pay. Basically pay for itself over a certain period of time, just in your time.
Well, if I, that valve down there, to open that valve all the way open would require 32 turns. Like I said, I had 2 hours in the hole just to open at 8. So you can imagine how long you would have to spend down there with prying and beating, and it's just not a good thing. I can't believe it, that it wasn't fixed or replaced before. So anyway, all our frozen water lines are open. Knock on wood, no water's bubbling out of the ground anywhere or anything, so I think we got lucky there. People were really, really good about it. You know, I mean, they realized it was Mother Nature. It was nothing that we could really control. Good learning experience for a lot of people, actually. So if it ever happens again, we know a little bit more what to do. The city garage door. I had a guy come out to give you an estimate, and the doors have no serial numbers, no names, no nothing. He said that he would not be able to probably match them panels. What I need to do is try and catch Stephen Buckentine home, because I think he's the one who put them doors in, find out for sure where he got them, if he has numbers of some sort for the door. You know, the guy just told me, he said he wouldn't be able to match the ones that were on there. If there's five panels, there's three that are damaged, so...
Could he give us a bid on the new door? Doesn't have to match that door, just a new door for that side.
Well, yeah. You know, I mean, it would be probably cheaper if we could match the other
panels. I would
think
you tell the insurance company, you got no way to match it. You're going to go to...
put a whole new door.
Yeah, and maybe that's the way to go. I mean, I didn't know how old the door was, but me and Jeremy looked it up. What was it, 05, 06?
What I'll do tomorrow, remind me, I made note here too, is I'll try to pull that invoice.
Okay.
Back in 06, I'll do some searching, but I should be able, hopefully them records are just up here in the closet. I can figure out what date that was and pull that invoice and see if that'll give us any information. That'll probably be the easiest step.
Because he looked at the doors and there's no numbers, no nothing, no, it doesn't say what brand it is or anything. And he said without some kind of a name or a number, he said a lot of times the doors have a serial number sticker on them, and he couldn't find anything on it, so.
Well, it'd be the simplest, just put a new door in, because you can't match that one, you're not going to match the next one in 2 years, so I just put a new door in and be done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he could look. He would look once tomorrow too. And I don't know. I don't.
Well, that's option B then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
if not, just get a door and put it in there.
Got your generator hookup for the community hall. Do you want me to get a quote on from an electrician what it would cost to run a basically a plug-in on the outside? I know this came up once before. If there would ever be a emergency shelter.
Our portable generator set outside then? Or?
Well, our diesel that we keep, I keep that in the water treatment plant, but if you ever needed it, we could run it outside the city hall and plug it in off there.
Covered part of the hall in case winter.
I guess it wouldn't hurt to get a quote.
Yeah.
So we know what we're talking about.
Okay.
I'd say just that, I don't know that necessarily Rob needs to make a special trip out here, but next time they're out here to do something.
Yeah. When he's out here for the panel down there at the other generators, have him come up and.
Okay.
The problem being is that that's a three-phase generator in the sewer plant now and the water plant right now. And should something go haywire with the generator down at the lift station, this one will still power that. So they've got it. This generator will work at the community hall, but it has to be made clear to them that, you know, because this is a three-phase generator and that's a single-phase city hall, we don't want to compromise the integrity of the generator because it may have to be used there, so they're made aware of that. It's not just a matter of plugging it in to the building.
Well, they're going to have to wire it accordingly, so.
You have to have a transformer step down or step up, whatever, from three-phase to single,
So, actually, three-phase has got more wires.
Yeah.
So, basically, it's just you're going to have to incorporate
what's
there into a plug that will fit the generator.
Yeah.
I would think being electricians, they would take that into account.
Yeah.
So that would be part of their
Rob
estimate in the first place. So.
Yeah.
Chuck will know what Rob's
saying. Another issue we got going, and it's been an issue for a while, the roof is leaking on the community hall. And it's to the point now where the ceiling tile are getting wet and falling in. So, do you want me to start looking for bids to fix, replace, something? We got to do something. I mean, you said you and Dennis replaced a bunch of them, and I know they were stained right after, and with that last driving rain.
Is that the flat roof or the round one?
The flat roof.
Flat.
We're going to have to get somebody up there once and evaluate it.
Well, it's been... It actually was running onto the dance floor where that big vent used to be.
Yep.
Leaking out of there, so I got a trash can sitting there catching water. And then it was running down where the flat roof meets the round roof, right where the bar is. I had pails there, and then along basically the whole back wall was all. And you could see, like I said, there's actually some tile that are...
I seen them when I put them chairs back. I seen that.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's... It's something, if we don't, it was running down the wall, it was running onto the lights, you know, it's going to cause a bigger issue if we don't. We're going to have electrical shorts and everything else.
Is that a membrane roof up there, a rubber roof, membrane?
I don't know what's up there. I've never been up there.
That'd be my guess.
Oh. That's funny that would be leaking. But
that might be a membrane with rock over it, I think.
I think, too, it's with rock.
Yeah. I don't know.
You have to get somebody, like, on a hutch.
Leroy.
Something like that.
Leroy Roofing is out of Hutch. Yeah, I'll maybe one day find grab a fireman or something. And
yeah, I would say
two people, because I know one person. I don't want to go up a ladder like that without somebody holding on to the bottom of it. That's pretty high. I think I'd go with it. It's getting my nose.
Sure. I'm sure we got to get a couple of estimates on that.
Yeah, it's something that, like I said, it's we're going to have more problems because it was, you know, now it's running down the paneling and everything else. It's going to be staying on the paneling.
Well, it probably had something to do, too, with that driving east wind.
Yeah.
You know, it just compounded.
Yeah.
It found the weak spots.
But like I said, if you look along there, that whole wall, they're all stained. They're all leaking, so. Mm-hmm. I had that. Also got, I'm going to need, we talked about this before, but anyway, the furnace down in the shop down there has now quit working. I know we don't have any money budgeted. You know, I'm going to have to get some estimates and see once what happens. You know, when winter starts coming, I don't know if I should have somebody try and look at that old one. That thing is older than the hills. I'm almost sure they would be able to get parts for it.
That's very old.
20 plus. I'd say a new one, just the cost of saving our efficient, more efficient one would be...
Well, that's...
Probably pay for itself.
What I'd suggest, being we got two sides of the shop, I think we should go with two hanging ones, probably a smaller one on the back side, and maybe a little bigger one on the front side, because like I said, now I close the doors off at night because of the meeting room back there. You know, when you come in the morning, it's always really cold up here and warm back there where that one's at. You open the doors and eventually it...
Add a little firewood shouldn't cost us too much.
What's that?
A little firewood shouldn't cost us too much.
Oh, no.
Well, why don't you check into...
That's maybe something I'll get the estimates and stuff on, too.
Rather than out and it turns cold again.
Yeah. Because like I said, that quit about a month ago already now, so... But, other than that, anybody got anything for me?
What about those leaking valves up in the pump house?
Oh.
As long as we're talking expenditures.
Yeah. The, my suggestion on that pump house, and just my suggestion, cap the well. Shut the well down. We will probably never use that again. It's called an emergency well, but if we ever turn that on, we wouldn't be able to feed people water anyway, because it needs to be tested. It's not, you know, chlorinated. It doesn't have all the stuff.
Is that the one by the fire or fire hydrant?
Water pump thing is.
Yeah.
Would you have to fill that well? That's 800 feet.
I think you just cap it.
You don't allow that, I don't think.
That's something we have to check with the Department of Health. If it can just be capped, if that's fine, or if it have to be.
I mean, we don't have. You know, there's nothing up there to fill fire trucks anymore. So we got two wells back here. I can't ever foresee a reason. Like I said, I mean, we don't even have it tested now, because if we were to test that, we would have to turn the water on. By turning the water on, we will contaminate our other water in the tank and everything. So we didn't even, I mean, Kurt called the state. He said, here's the deal. And they said, no, whatever you do, don't turn that on. So, you know, we didn't even have it tested or whatever this last time when we had to do our water sampling.
So is there anything leaking up there now?
Yes. It's dripping. But if we shut the thing down and can cap the thing, then we can take everything out of there and the building can be used for storage or something. It doesn't need to be heated in the winter. Anything in there is with the old well and then our siren. Other than that,
well, you'd still have to heat it with the siren and that equipment in there, wouldn't
it? No. You don't need to heat that for the siren.
Huh?
You need to heat that for the siren.
What did this do? Because of the
frost. Yeah, because of the frost. That was
outside.
Yeah, the frost moved the ground on the outside, not the inside.
Well, let's check into the well situation.
What's Kurt think on that?
Uh-huh.
What's Kurt think on that?
I was going to run that by him today, and I forgot we were doing
that.
Make a note. Let's run that by Kurt.
Yeah.
See what he thinks. Or
I know he just said that time, like I said, when you know we had the state thing for testing the water and stuff, that he called there. And it's down as an emergency use only.
Yeah. Extreme.
Yeah.
Emergency use, I think, is what it's actually listed.
Yeah. Then wouldn't you be able to cap that and it's still an extreme emergency use? Then you valve it up real quick and
you can use it. Fire or something. Yeah, probably not for water supply, but
I mean,
fire.
To keep it from having to fill it, you cap it, and it can still be used for an extreme emergency use. You just take the cap off, put the valve back on it.
Check with Department of Health on
what's
that.
What's going at the car wash? That one was for emergency use too.
But then that had to stop because you couldn't use.
Right, but then
you couldn't get enough chemicals and that stuff to make it.
Well, no, I mean it's the same.
That one's actually should be capped too.
Because I know that was very spendy for that one, and that one kind of fell by the radar too. So check ones for purchase.
What ended up happening is there's the heater quit working and it cracked two valves. So now we got a drip, 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 drip. Unless you want me to replace the valves, I don't know what they would be, but
check what's on the other option first.
I thought about that a lot at home. I thought, extreme use only, are we ever going to use that? You know, do we really want to stick money into it?
Why don't we check both ways? See what's what the valves would cost. You know, in case, I mean, we could use the water for fire purposes.
Yeah.
Anything else?
What size are the valves?
They're probably 6-inch pipe. Oh. They're a pretty good sized valve.
Just a gate valve.
Yeah, there's two of them.
Called hydro.
Two of them that are cracked. There's numbers on the valve, so I could take a number off of the valve. But
that might be an option because after if you have to fill that or plug that, that would be.
Well, maybe you just let's see our options.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else for Greg?
I got a couple things. The security light on the hall, on the north side there by the stairs, is the bulb is out. We noticed at Bingo. And there's a piece, there's conduit wire that takes a 90 degree underneath the stairs there as well on the north side, and it's got one of those things that you bring from the inside of the house to the outside, you know, the 90 degree deal with the cap on it. The cap's missing forever, and I've never really brought it up because I didn't really thought about it until I kind of looked at it, but it you can see a piece of Romex wire that does a 90 degree right through there that should be capped off at some point in time. But that's all I got, that bulb and then that, like I said, that conduit piece.
It's just not that the switch is off, right?
Is that?
It's just not that the switch is off. The bulb is.
The bulb was not working at Bingo. We had all the lights on, everything. The security was not. That light was out. Because Leo noticed it. I didn't even notice it.
That's
and he told me, I looked at it.
That's your energy bulbs that are supposed to last how long?
Which one is it now? The outside one?
Which one is it? Which one were you talking about, Bob?
It's the one that's right above the stairs on the north side where the bar door is. The back side of the bar.
By that silver stack?
It's right above the.
That's on the switch. You got to turn it on.
As far as I know, all the lights were on.
Yeah, but.
Outside light?
Yeah, it's an outside light.
Yeah, but there's a switch.
As far as I know, all the switches, all the lights were turned on, everything was supposed to be on. I mean, I guess I didn't look at the switch. Leo just told me, he pointed out to me, and I wrote it down. Yeah.
Could be something that the switch is wrong. Because I've turned it on already at night. We'll see.
We'll check it out.
Anything else for Mr. Schultz? There. We just added a few more things to the play tool, huh?
That's all right. Keeps me busy.
Yes. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
You got enough help out there for tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll move on to number 9. Jeremy.
Just one thing. If anybody's read the letter from Lenny Schmitz with Carver County,
Public Health. They're basically looking at doing a SHIP grant again. Some of you are familiar with that, but it's a statewide health improvement. It's basically for active living, basically to get people active in their community. I will be meeting with Mr. Schmitz on May 22nd at 10 to maybe discuss some possible options for the city. One thing they can do is either put a plan together for us, or they can look at some ways of creating some active living by way of walking paths, bicycle paths, those type of things. But I know I've already kind of ran those things by Lenny about walking paths or biking paths or some improvements, but I know there's not that much money in that grant to do something of that nature. But I wanted to run it by council also, see if there are any things council would like to see that maybe they'd like to see done to kind of improve, you know, or promote any type of active living within the community. I mean, really big thing for me would be like to, what we did with it last time was improved handicap access to the parks. So we got $10,000 and we basically used that money to create handicap paths and access to both our parks. So I'm open to any suggestions or ideas. Please let me know by May 22nd.
This program is open to the cities, or is it open to townships as well?
I don't know that.
Chairman, this is for handicap money?
Well, no, that's what we used it for last time.
Oh, okay. I was going to say one thing. Lenny used to be our parks guy out there, and he's big on that we did the blacktopped things. Also use some of the green rubbers in the wheelchair to get to the.
Mm-hmm. So that may be an idea that we could look at. Is now we have the path. Is maybe have that landing area.
Yeah. It's just a thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because we have the path now, but we don't have that.
We don't have no way to get up to the
right. Exactly. So that's definitely. I'll definitely bring that up to him.
Well, just if townships can use it, maybe there's a way we can coordinate with us here the Young American Township and Norwood, and maybe get like a biking path, a walking path along 31 there.
Yeah, that might be a stretch money wise, but. Yeah. But definitely, throw it over.
You don't have to worry twice a day on that one.
Can I go back to Greg for just one second? Greg, what did you find out about that heater that's in the bathrooms down there at the park that kept blowing the fuses? Is that totally shot, or is that the cause, or don't you know?
I don't know. I just turned them off. I don't know if it was shot. I don't know why we have heaters in the bathrooms anyway. The doors are open all the time anyway, so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to pull up and get out of the panel, and that way they will all have. We don't need heaters in the bathrooms.
No. Okay, thanks.
Back to you.
Okay. All right. See that one for last. Workers' compensation for volunteers. Do we want to continue with that?
Definitely.
$123.
Yeah.
For the year.
Need a motion on that?
Yes, please.
I make a motion we keep workers' compensation for volunteers.
Second. Motion made and seconded to approve payment on workers' compensation for volunteers. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
All right. Waste management, as we've talked about, expires 7/31. I will be sending out RFPs this week for garbage services. So at our July meeting, we'll need to make a decision on that.
And their contract expires when, Jerry?
July 31st.
And do we have to give them 60 days notice?
I've already given them notice.
Oh, okay.
And actually, I looked in the contract, and there wasn't anything that specifically spelled out what 60 or 90 days. There was no clause in there that I see.
And so we've told them we're not
notified our representative.
We've told them we're not going to renew it.
Yes, and that will be going to RFP services for garbage. so they're aware of it.
So can they rebid on that then?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, definitely. Pretty much had the last two times and still got mm-hmm. it, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, then really last thing I got is the inflatable jumping house or the obstacle course. Just basically, I think you all received a letter from Councilmember Odoms on his concerns in relation to it. I also got the attorney's opinion on it. Some of the things I thought, and the only, you know, probably my biggest concern is liability. That would be my biggest concern. How I look at it is, it's no different than when I had all these issues and problems with these trampolines. They were the hot thing, and then there were all these lawsuits against them and homeowners.
Backyard pools.
And backyard pools and everything. And it just, I hate to always keep bringing up, you know, liability, but that's the society we live in.
Well,
the other thing, my thought was, is if we gave the money and the Lions Club or some other club purchased it, but the city donated the money for the purchase.
So the city does not have anything to do with it, you know, no storage of it, no upkeep, no setup, no tear down. But we budgeted the money to buy it. But that way the city is washed their hands of it. That's something the Lions want to take under their wing. Do you have enough insurance through your national policy or whatever that would cover that or whatever?
Well, there would be probably enough. I think we have a $2 million per incident or something like that. But let's say we had it at like Summerfest, for example, which would probably be one of the uses for it.
Yeah.
Just because the Lions Club is the one who rents it out in that won't negate somebody from trying to sue the city since Summerfest is on city property. So that's just, I mean,
right,
the whole idea of that aspect.
That's only one event then versus possibly 15, 20. I guess I'm just trying to look out best interest of the city. I really, but I don't want to take away from doing something for Summerfest or the clubs or, you know, putting money towards, you know, city functions or events. But my concern is the liability aspect. Somebody, it only takes one person to get sued because, as I've stated, our insurance company will not cover this. We will have to go out and try to find a separate type of policy for coverage for this.
And I guess, too, you know, if we have it at Summerfest and the Lions Club owns it, and somebody falls and breaks their arm or whatever, you know, is the city liable? Because, I mean, they're just here, just the same as if somebody eats a hot dog and gets botulism from a food vendor, you know, is the city liable then? I guess we're kind of off the hook if we...
But if it's on city property, I believe they could be partially liable along with the Lions Club and whoever else. I mean,
it could be anything, not on city property.
You know,
it could be anything.
I mean, you could sue, they can sue anybody they want. It's whether or not they can actually get away with it.
Has this ever been ordered yet?
Well, we're very close now because I actually found a group that's willing to send us an invoice and for us to do the invoice process. The first group I had lined up that wanted to do it wouldn't send us an invoice. I'm like, well, then you obviously don't want to sell your inflatable.
Because, I mean, we're getting close to Summerfest. We have to make some decisions now.
I guess my other thing would be, I don't know of any other cities that do some of this nature.
What is it if you rent one? What's the insurance liability on that?
Well, they gotta carry whoever you buy it from's gotta carry insurance on it.
So if you rent this, you get the insurance from them. Is that
well?
What
they
happens?
Have to have insurance.
No, your activity has to have insurance.
So even if a guy goes and rents one, we still have to have insurance. Is that right?
We had them last year, and I don't know what kind of insurance that, because Linda hired this guy, and I really don't know. We didn't buy any extra insurance, no liability or anything like that. As far as we carry a liability policy,
I don't think it's an umbrella or anything like that. But again, the fact that it was, the event was sponsored by the Lions and the fire department and was on city property, that pretty much opens up all three of those places for a suit, even though the thing wasn't ours. So I guess, you know, it's a liability is one thing, but the way our litigious society works, anybody can sue anybody for whatever they want. Like I said, being the fact that it's actually on city property anyway, even though it wasn't ours, we rented it, that still opens the city up for a lawsuit if somebody gets hurt on it.
Kind of makes me wonder if they really had insurance to begin with.
Yeah. The next question is, do you really want this? I know it'd be a good thing.
Well, we wanted to do something for it.
Right. I know.
The well-being of it. Brad, you got something?
I was just going to say that's how it got started a year, 2 years ago. The groups are donating to this community all the time. And it was brought up, when's the city going to help towards some of the fundraisers? And other towns give people $1,000 or something towards their community event. And I thought, what better way of doing it than to buy this thing? Granted, now the liability and stuff, I understand that can be a problem. But Delta, with yours, with the cord and stuff,
right?
That's trivial, minimal, compared to what the groups have totally donated. You go to the playground equipment down there, the $75,000 plus playground, and if I'm not mistaken, the city has about $7,000 wrapped up in. The rest is donated by funds raised, community groups, fundraisers, and I was after the city to help with some of this because we're constantly giving. And yeah, you get a thank you, and that's great. But when does the city help do some things? They don't have to buy playground equipment. They don't have to buy, we built steps at the hall. We raised money to side and window that community hall. Put the roof on there. The city did not have to do any of that. We had fundraisers. And, you know, it's just time, when I was chief, brought up that something needs to be started a little bit with the city helping out.
What would be a solution if, can the city just donate to the Zummerfest?
Well, you read in the paper, other towns do give something towards, you know, fireworks or towards, I don't know what you can do, you know, but other towns do it. I read plenty of papers.
I know, that's what I do too, you know.
13 papers at our office and everybody giving a little something here and there.
Make something to an organization.
I guess just to go on back on my point, I'm, you know, as clerk, I think I always got to play devil's advocate somewhat. You know, now if our insurance covered something like this, you know, I wouldn't have an issue with it. But I'm trying to look out for the city because insurance has basically come out and said, no.
But and I appreciate that, and I appreciate Delta's complaint, you know, worry about the liability. But you know, it's you got to try and get something because it's, I can name $200,000 worth of stuff that's been donated, and the city barely got 10% into it.
And I'm not saying to just wash that item, or I'm still saying that, you know, keep them monies in there as to either donating it for that or the festival or whatever. I'm not saying to take that money away from the club, though.
So. Well, if we can't get insurance and the city attorney says it's a bad idea, I guess that kind of closes the book.
Well,
now we've got the $3,000 that we've allocated for that. I guess giving that to the Lions Club and letting them do what they wish with it. I think the city is still upholding their commitment.
Well, but we've got more clubs in town that have contributed and helped. You know, it's hard to just do with them for one.
Well, and I understand that, Mayor, but what I'm saying is that when we talked about this last fall,
right,
it was the Lions Club. We said, okay, we'll allocate $3,300 to the Lions Club for a bouncy house. Well, okay.
No. The Lions advocated for it, yes, and so did the fire department. But there was no way that the city was allocating any money to the Lions for anything.
Well, we put it in the budget.
Well, it was never
in the budget.
It's in the budget.
Right.
Yeah.
It was never
bad choice of words. It was put in the budget so it could be given to them. So I guess giving them the $3,000 or giving buying a bouncy house with $3,300 or $3,300.
That's what I'm saying. If they want to, if they can cover it that way with their insurance or whatever, fine. Otherwise, to give it just to Zummerfest, I mean, that's leaving some organizations out.
And I'm not saying give it to Zummerfest. I'm saying we said we would allocate the money to the Lions.
We never allocated to the Lions. It was allocated to buy this attraction for anybody's use, whether it be the Lions, whether it be the Lions and the Norwood City Council or whatever, if they wanted to borrow it as well. The money was never to be allocated for the Lions.
The Lions were looked at to take care of it.
Okay.
So kind of... It was really by the city.
Drop the Lions Club.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with the Lions.
No, move on.
Okay, forget it then.
Just drop the Lions.
Is there some way that, you know, like Delta said, that you put $3,000 or whatever, $3,300 in this fund? Is there some way that maybe you want to put a little something in there every year, and the next time we have a park project or a community something. We need a new sign on the end of town. We need something that the city council is giving some money back and helping with projects, you know, a slush project. You can, hey, here's $1,200 to help out with this, or, you know, then you don't have to budget it separate. You gotta, you know, each year you can put $1,000 in, now next year you got $4,300 and next year, $5,300. And all of a sudden, in 2016, there's you want to put a gazebo up, or you want to do an added attraction, or we want to put another piece in the playground. Here's $3,000 to help me out. Now, we still got $2,300 in there to use, you know, something. And that's why I brought it up. It's just we keep giving stuff as groups and
okay, I'd like to know what council's opinion is on the obstacle course, I guess. I mean, let's get back
to our insurance views the obstacle course different than the playground.
Again,
especially because if we were to give it to someone else or rent it out,
we'd rent out the park.
That way, yeah, but it's our property that's on premise. Right. I can give you the phone number if you want to talk to
them. I'm just curious on why they would donate to it.
Well, again, you know, even if it was a rented one from somebody else like this one we had last year, just the fact that it's on city property at the park opens up the city to a lawsuit for liability. So whether we own it or not, you're still facing that liability.
Yeah, but I don't buy that because anybody can walk through the park and not even have anything there and sue the city. So
it's all over a tree run.
This just creates a bigger risk, though, by having it, I guess is what I'm looking at.
Kind of like an attractive nuisance.
I hate to always get into these discussions because liability is always an issue, or you can't do nothing anymore because somebody's going to sue you. Like Max said in his letter, in the 50s, you know, prime example is, you know, I know somebody broke their leg and you went home and dad asked you, what were you doing? Well, what in the heck were you doing climbing on the side of the fence? Right? Nowadays, it's, that fence is crooked, I'm suing the city. Right? I mean, I just...
Rubber and mold, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's just such a tough thing, and I hate to always... But I feel it's my job to do what's best in, you know, best interest of the city and protect the city.
Well, say it this way. If our attorney advised against it, I'm not going to... And our insurance won't even issue it. How far do we go? We're spinning our wheels.
You know, it's just like, you know, to explain it to you, Chris, some insurance companies will not give you homeowner insurance if you have a trampoline.
No.
You know, so it's kind of...
I know that.
You know, why, I don't know. I don't have them answers. And, you know, just, I wish, you know, I think most would agree that we change the tort limits and rid of some of the attorneys and get back to taking responsibility for ourselves. But
closed the law schools for 15 years.
Well, I think for this year, it's, the money is in the account, and we look for options of how we can help, or like Brad said, you know, keep this fund going, just like to buy a fire truck. You know, if something is going to pop up once that some groups need something, hey,
they
want to
do
help.
They want to do a community project.
We
can
help.
Can
and I think that's something good. It just shows that the city is absolutely there to help with it, instead of the groups always, you know, or say you need another set of bleachers. I'm just saying, don't need it. But as an example, you know, groups paid for that. I think the city put a little bit in there. You know, but if you need another set of them, hey, here's $2,000 to help. You know, instead of going, oh, if you want bleachers, you guys go buy them with your fundraiser money.
Well, you know, in my position too, I guess I thought that this was for the Lions Club. Okay, so that was misunderstanding on my part. Do I have a problem with giving the Lions Club or any other organization, you know, allocating money from the city for that? No, I think your idea is a good idea, Brad. I apologize that, you know, I was under the understanding that this was a Lions Club thing only. But if it's not, and so if that $3,300 can be spread around to different things or put in the slush fund or whatever, I'm all for that.
Just to verify, it's $3,000.
I totally forgot. The guy should have asked
Matt,
you know, can you do it? But I see other towns, they allocate something towards fires, $1,500 towards fireworks. Or
really, the rule of thumb is, can it benefit the community as a whole, or benefit them as a whole, is kind of the general.
Yeah, maybe we want to update the sign once into a little fancier one.
Yeah,
there's money if in the goal.
It's just something that if you got something that you can say, hey, here's some money.
Everybody can
guys
contribute to the repairs of the hall roof.
Remember, the fundraiser put that roof on there.
I know, I was part of that committee.
I raised the roof.
Actually, that's what got it started, with that $25,000 donation to the roof.
Yeah. Remember that.
Well, I think Bounce House is, for me, is going to be a...
Don't get me wrong, I love them. My kids love them. And I would love to, you know, it would be nice to have some of that nature. But and I somewhat agree with Chris, why can we have park equipment? That's probably more dangerous.
Can we use it somehow for some
but
kind
yet
of
insurance
other thing for some
different
this year? Something different than that for the kids or for something, for Zimmerfest.
I don't know. If the agreement the council was that the board, why not let's wait to the.
And when was you going to order this?
No, I was all set to pull the trigger.
I guess
last week.
I guess
or prior to Councilman Olden's email.
Can you still get it in time for Zumba Festive?
It's in. Well, it was in stock last week, so.
Well, the 19th is next Monday.
Yeah.
So it gives you a month.
I'll check with Matt too to see if, because it technically was a budgeted line item, that if we can't just make that allocation and
the other thing
and
I was
put it more so as a donation than an actual equipment purchase.
Uh-huh. Ask him too, you know, and I can hear everything he said, but we're having a magic show down there. Can you give something to pay for that magic show, that our profits, a freebie thing. So any profits we make have to pay the magic show.
I don't see why we couldn't just give, if we don't do the bouncy house part, why we can't just give a donation and you guys can do whatever you want with it.
If that's the legal way, but other, you read all the time, other towns, the city's given something. You know, even if we got, I didn't hear everything you said, Chris, sorry, but, you know, even if we could pay for some of our freebie things down there, you know, like it's a magic show, and I don't know, it's an animal petting thing or something. You know, the guy could, or hit something.
It's
you know, even if a guy could use some of that money to help that way, it would be greatly appreciated, you know. And you're helping, I mean, everybody has the right to come down to that Zimmerfest. Because they don't, I can't help that. But it's helping. It's a community event.
Or even the city just paying for the rental of the inflatable house thingy that we had last year. I mean, that like you said, the kids love them. It was busy all day. Again, my guess is he carries his own liability insurance, and he probably has, I don't know whether or not we signed a contract or what with the guy, but he just brought the stuff out. He set it up. When that storm came through, that hour-long storm, it blew the whole thing over, and we had to set it back up. But other than that, everything was fine.
I'm pretty sure whoever contracted with them to get there had to sign a contract to waive them.
I didn't see a contract.
Because we get it for the taste. We rent them for the taste in Norwood, and we have to sign a contract with the group
provider
that provides them that we waive them of liability.
You said they're washing their hands of it.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
In a sense.
I mean, and we would be able to do the same thing as whoever ends up, if we get this, whoever ends up getting it, they could write up a similar contract. So whoever uses it, that organization signs a contract that is, you know, on paper at least, waives. And that would have been part of the process that I put together to rent this thing out.
See once what the board says. Get back to Jeremy, you can email out.
And what I would say to keep us clean slates, that we just, it's a strict donation to Zummerfest Festival. We don't earmark it for a purchase or something. I mean, not that I'm trying to pass on the liability, but we want to keep our hands clean.
It's no different than people giving us, you know, here's $1,500, use it at your, at the city
discretion.
Fund,
function.
Celebration,
yeah.
How you see fit.
Well, let's find out. Let us know. Anything else, Jeremy, under your... You must have something added, didn't you?
No, I didn't have anything else.
Nothing else, otherwise we're going to move on.
We will.
We're going to go to the added, I'm going to say, is it going to be the
January
claim list? There are three
revisions. I just want to know, there were three revisions. Check number 16612 and check number 16616 and check number 16620. Initially, we had approved $179 for 16612, and the actual amount was $2,314. That was revised from the 179, and then 16616, which we approved back in January, was for $270. Should actually be $23. And then for Xcel Energy, it was $1,321.84 that was approved, but it actually should have been $1,292.26. These are just some things that I found in what was reported on the claims list and approved versus as to the checks that were issued in the proper amounts.
The membership dues here on that 616, that was about $230, right?
That was $270, and I think what happened on that one, what I could figure is we reapproved it for $270 again, but it was an additional $23 that was needed, and I think I cut and pasted it. It was $270 again. It should have been $23. And then the Excel, that the difference in the Excel was
sales tax.
Sales tax. And then with Justin's, that was somehow that got, one got double issued for $179. On the claims, but the actual checks issued were these amounts.
So we need.
So it'd actually be a revision of $1,094.59 less than what was reported.
Second.
So the actual added claims for January 2014 should be in the amount of $24,361.19 versus what was initially approved of $25,455.70.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the revisions of check 16612, 16,616 and 16,620, with a new total of 24,361.19 for January. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. All right, we'll move on to the April added items. I'm looking at probably 16,721 to 16,748 in the three edge payments, huh?
Correct.
And that total would be what, 20,642?
12.
12.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the additional claims for April. Checks number 16,721, 16,748, and three edge payments. Total of 20,642.12. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Move on to the May claims. There will probably be one more check to be approved, which would probably be 16,784. That would be to the Molises for the flowers in the park. Didn't get all the receipts for me this tonight yet, so that'll be, it's probably under $30.
Are those flowers in yet or not?
Yes, they're growing.
Excellent.
So, any other questions?
16,759.
759.
Carnation milk?
Yep. Truck was thirsty.
Okay.
Stop leak. Home remedy for stop leak.
Is it? All right. Just, I figured that's what it was. I just had a...
Yeah, it's... the intake was... Yeah. Like I said, when they had a chance to rip it all down, you had to soak for everything, just keep dumping it out.
Did it help?
Stopped instantly.
Sounds good.
Pepper works too.
Huh?
Pepper works too.
I know my dad's used carnation for 30 years. It works amazing.
I'll move to approve the four ATCH payments. Check number 16,749. Then we're going to add 16,784. For a total of 35,716.68. Is that
$30?
Second.
I'll update that.
Motion made and seconded to approve checks 16,749 to 16,783 with the addition of 16,784 with the four ATCH payments for a total of 35,716. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Mr. Odoms.
I guess that pretty much talked about everything with the lift station, what's going on down there.
All right. Bob.
I got nothing. The stuff I had, I gave to Mr. Schultz earlier.
Chris.
Okay. So, everybody have this?
Yes, they did make this out.
We tried this sheet, I think, the first year I was on council. And what the purpose of this is two things. It's first to keep track of like what's been going on and where what our status is and when it's been completed and why it hasn't been completed in a timely fashion, if that so be the case. The other thing is it also helps us when we start putting things on Schulte's shoulders to get stuff done, we can see what's already on there. And then the third thing is to speed up our meetings that we're having. The idea is that we look at this report, we get this report every meeting. We don't need the agenda items to be posted on the agenda unless we need to pull something that we need action items on. Otherwise, we just go ahead and look at the report, much like we look at the stuff on the consent agenda, and we just move forward. So that way, we're not sitting here from 7 o'clock to 10:30 at night.
I think it's something you just want to add to the consent agenda, right?
Yeah.
To the consent.
Yep.
Yep.
And if there's something that we need to bring more awareness to, then we just speak on just that topic, not all 10, like in this one here, there's 10 bullet points. We wouldn't talk on all 10. We just talk on the one that maybe is
3 months past due, and we need more explanation that hasn't already been disseminated already.
Either more information or make a decision on it.
Yep, exactly. A prime example would be, in our current agenda, would be the city assessment policy.
So we'll get back to that, plus the project list, too.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Definitely. The only other thing I have, it was brought to me, a former council member and one of our residents came to my office and had some, I don't know, kind of a disturbing conversation that they overheard about. And I haven't gone back to look at the minutes or listen to the tapes, but I remember last meeting we had, there was some conversation about the PCA and some sewage or something spewing out someplace.
Well, basically what that was is, and we had talked about it probably back in earlier this year, about the air relief valve in the manhole on the end of Martha Street.
Okay.
What went bad on that?
There was a cracked
valve or something? Or
seal.
Seal? Or
no, there's two clean-out valves. They're basically like two water spigots on it.
Okay.
And they're threaded into a, the valve stands about this size, like a big round barrel, and there was a crack in the valve.
Okay.
So it was leaking water. According to the complaint from the citizen, there was raw sewage,
okay,
like turds and everything else. That was not the case. NPCA came out here, looked at it. They said, well, we don't see anything. So that's what we told you. But from
right,
their complaint was, or to what actually happened,
reality,
was a whole different thing.
And part of the other reason why this person brought it to my attention too is that it was talked about that, you know, we're talking about annexing that former council member's property into the city.
That's even been talked about before this incident happened. So this
I understand. I told the person I would bring it to the council.
That has absolutely, and I will put it right on tape, has nothing to do with that. That was talked about. You can go right to the township meeting right now. It was an agreement that the township made that they wanted him annexed into the city as part of the purchase of the property. So it has nothing to do with that PCA thing.
And that's what I
explained. Nobody's even mentioned that on council here. So that's that person's train of thought. It has nothing to do with that.
And the only reason I bring it up is just the fact that it's...
The reason why I brought it up again last meeting is because the township is pushing me to do it. So if he has a problem, he can come up to city office to the township and get it straight.
The former council member that's property we're annexing is not the former council member that talked to me about this. So it's a different former council member. So they just overheard the conversation. It's being talked about that the annexation is a result of the PCA
and
us getting. I understand it's not. I just want to bring it to the awareness of the council.
That's
the rumor going around town.
What I'd like to relay. City office is open. If they have curiosities, please come and speak to me so we can put them to bed.
I don't disagree with you. But I just wanted to... I wasn't aware that those two things, that the PCA, what you were saying with the revive valve being cracked and them coming out when it was talked about last meeting, I didn't know they were intertwined.
Yeah,
that's the reason I asked that part of it, too. So I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah,
but I did tell the other former council member that No such conversation took place at a council meeting that the annexation of the property was a result of that report.
I don't know where that has to be coming from.
So I told him I'd bring it up to council just so we can squash whatever we need to squash and go from there.
Well, with no name, also I will say with no name and no presence, what consideration should we give it?
Zero.
But anyways, there's nothing to do with that.
All right, anything else, Chris?
No.
Steve?
I'm good.
So am I. At this point, I guess we'll...
Move to recess?
Second.
Motion made and seconded to recess the city council meeting. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
I move to adjourn.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you.
Carried.